Showgirls is a 1995 film directed by Paul Verhoeven and is a cult movie in the truest sense of the word. It's a high-budget film, based incidentally on a Joe Esterhazy script that he was paid millions to write, but it immediately clashed with critical and commercial tastes and took an absolute mauling from contemporary critics, as well as being a huge commercial flop. But it has since managed to find both an audience who seem to revel in its perceived deficiencies, as well as a growing number of appreciators who are willing to defend it and who are able and inclined to discern its finer qualities, one of whom I suppose is me for making this podcast. At the time, I think the critics didn't really understand that the film is made in the image of its setting and themes. It's a film about a working class young woman called Nomi, who hitchhikes to Las Vegas wanting to work as a dancer in a big musical show, and who achieves her aims, but not before having to dance in a strip club to make ends meet, and coming into contact with a lot of cutthroat, sleazy people along the way. The film works as an expose, or even a satire, about Las Vegas camp and excess, and Verhoeven employs a campy and excessive style in which to do so. If you know Verhoeven's other works such as Robocop and Starship Troopers, you will be familiar with this approach. Incidentally, Casino by Martin Scorsese was made around the same time, and that similarly took the same kind of approach of being very gaudy and excessive in its style. The critics also reacted with prudishness against the amount of nudity and sex that was on display, and seemed to refuse to take it seriously and to dismiss the movie on that basis. Subsequently, this seemed to scare away audiences, and when I saw this film in the cinema on the day of its release, I remember there being absolutely nobody else in the auditorium, it was just me there. So what do I like about Showgirls? Well, it has a very noisy, flashy visual aesthetic, which is exacerbated by the very direct and unsubtle acting styles. There are some very beautiful neon-lit club scenes and stage scenes, great use of Steadicam and moving camera. There are long takes during the dance scenes, so you know that the cast perform the moves themselves and a lot of the time. It's a film that looks and feels cinematic, and it has a terrific final shot where Nomi hitchhikes back out of Las Vegas, leaving it all behind her, and the camera rises on a crane to reveal her face on a billboard, advertising the show that she is now a star of. The performance by Berkeley as Nomi is also excellent, despite what critics said about her at the time. I think there was a certain amount of sexism and snobbery at the heart of this criticism. She wasn't taken seriously because she had just come from the cast of the teen TV show Saved by the Bell, and because of her willingness to take her clothes off on screen. Interestingly, this seemed to mirror the class-based snobbery her character encounters in the film, where Nomi is dismissed by the more sophisticated Vegas elite as being low-class and uneducated, and who was never destined to ever truly be admitted into the showgirl world because of her past as a prostitute. And the film makes a really nice comment here about the hypocrisy of this attitude. Gina Gershon is also excellent, and there are also performances by Kyle MacLachlan, who probably comes off worst out of all of them because his character is rather bland, and also Robert Darvey, who is brilliant in everything he does and just as good here as the sleazy owner of Cheetahs, the topless bar where Nomi works. There is also a small role for Rena Riffle as an aspiring dancer called Penny. And her appearance is noteworthy because not only was Riffle in Striptease the following year, the Demi Moore comedy that drew comparisons to Showgirls and which was also a critical and commercial failure, but also because Riffle appeared again as Penny in an unofficial sequel called Showgirls 2, which was a micro-budget film that she wrote and directed in 2011. Showgirls 2 was made for about $30,000 and was shot on what looks like DSLR video and maybe a mix of video and some film stock. And it really has to be seen to be believed. It is an even more deliberately campy and excessive movie than the original, and is an amazing piece of work if you like films that set out to subvert your expectations of what constitutes cinematic quality. I could record an entire podcast, or perhaps even a book, on the extremely interesting Showgirls 2. And if you can get hold of a copy, I recommend it, especially, and perhaps only, if you're attracted to micro-budget attempts at challenging notions of what Hollywood represents in terms of narrative and style. But getting back to Verhoeven's original Showgirls, the thing that I like most, that really makes it work for me, is the almost relentless, in-your-face crudity and vulgarity of the dialogue. This comes to a head in the scene of Nomi's first big audition, where she and the other dancers are harangued in insulting and sexual terms by the show producer, which may well be pointed not only at the excesses of Vegas show producers themselves, but also maybe Verhoeven's and Esterhazy's way of telling us something about Hollywood big shots and how they go about their business, which we all suspected was happening, but which has now been exposed over the last 2 or 3 years. Like the rest of the film, the audition scene aims for a visceral reaction from the viewer. And I think this is the main reason why the critics hated Showgirls. It is a film about bodily responses. It wants to elicit laughs, arousal, and disgust. And it works on these levels. It is absolutely not an intellectual film. And that is its strength. If you've not seen it, or you've been put off by its reputation, I urge you to give it a go and judge for yourself. It's not a perfect movie, but if nothing else, it's an important film in the history of cult cinema. Thanks for listening. The Newton Talks Cult Film Microcast will return.